Blog Talk Radio.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening and welcome to Amongst Friends, the show where the conversation is definitely for the grown and sexy. My name is Joe Snyder and I will be the lead host for tonight's show, but I'm not hosting it alone. I'm joined here tonight with Patrice Reynolds.
Hello.
Deidre Robinson.
What's up, people?
Heather Owens.
Good evening.
And hopefully a little later tonight we'll get to hear from PJ Morgan. The topic for discussion tonight will be the dating game. Is there any getting around it when looking for a mate? Please, please call in and share your opinions, give comments, or ask questions on tonight's discussion. We want to hear from you. The number is 760-683-2662. Again, the number is 760-683-2662. 2662. In order to give your comments or ask any questions, you have to press 1. You can also join us in the blogtalkradio.com Amongst Friends chat room or our chat room on Facebook at Amongst Friends. We are looking forward to hearing from you. All right, so now we got that out the way. Tonight's topic is one of particular interest to me because I'm a young, single, and sexy man looking for a life mate. And I've been in this dating game for a while. Can we date and find a mate, or should we date, wait, and let our mates come to us? All these questions will be hopefully answered tonight as we look, as well as looking into the dynamics of dating. But first I want to just talk about a little bit what dating is. According to My Marriage and Family's book by David Alston and John Dufresne, they say that dating is an American creation. It was created by the young people in the United States, and it symbolizes couples' efforts to take more control over the process of mate selection. So as we journey tonight in this whole dating game process, we want to really look at whether or not you need to date in order to find your life partner. But before we do all that, I want to hear from my host, the co-host, on what are some of the positive or negative experiences they've had with dating. Heather, let's start with you.
Well, isn't that interesting? I think, you know, I've had some very good positive dates, and I've had some negative ones. I think you have to know where to toe the line with it. I went on a date maybe some time ago, about a year or so ago, and the gentleman I just felt like was rude. And although I was, you know, looking to date someone and thought that he was nice upon meeting him, we didn't get past the water service. And so I kindly told him thank you and put $3 on the table and got my things and I left.
Wow.
So sometimes you have to, you know, remain, and then other times, you know, but I think you kind of, you know, if the conversation isn't going the right way and someone is being rude or inappropriate, you have to draw the line there. So my dating experiences have been fairly well, but that's probably the most memorable one where I literally, you know, felt like can't do this. Wrong girl, wrong guy.
Okay. So, Deidre, what are some of your positive or negative moments of dating?
Since I've been going kind of on a dating frenzy, the most recent pleasant experience was I met a guy. Instead of coming to the house, we met at a parking lot, and he drove to the dinner. He was very polite. Everything. It was like old times. You know, he didn't ask for me to come over to his house so he could get the goodies and all that kind of stuff. It was just, you know, a nice conversation. So, hey, I just want y'all to know out there in the world, women still like, you know, just having a normal day, just to hang out where the
day.
End of the day, you're not ending up at the house or whatever. So that was
a normal day. Okay, Sharice, what are some of your
hold on, can I ask a question?
Worth? Huh?
I said, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, Deirdre, are you indicating that having sex at the end of a date, for those of us who do have dates tonight, does not mean that it was normal?
Wait, say that again.
Are you saying that not having sex at the end of a nice evening is not normal?
No, it's not normal.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sure we'll explore that later.
We are definitely going to explore that later. But, Therese, what are some of your dating's best or worst moments?
I've had some great, great dates. Some really great, hot, spicy dates. Some days that I didn't want to come off of, and I wish I was on right now.
Oh, my.
Dates where it was not complicated, but you can tell he thought it through, and it wasn't just, oh, let's just go here. Or it wasn't, where you want to go. But he had a plan because he had me in mind. He knew what kind of wine I liked. He knew that I loved looking at water because he asked those questions. And those nights were magical. Every single time I would go out with those kind of guys, the night is always magical. But I would say that the worst date that I've been on was, and I've told you guys, when the guy went back and took the tip off of the table, talking about something, I'm going to get my money, and basically drove me home to my home on the parkway, you know, because it has two lanes. And he's driving like really fast. And he's one of those guys that, you know, blinks their high beams, you know, for the person in front of him to get out of the way. And it completely turned me off. All it was doing was showing me his character. You know, he was just being him, and I was just observing. And he was just a rude guy, really rude. I will never forget that date. And I took all of that into consideration and never dated him again. And he never knew exactly why I wouldn't date him anymore. But it had a lot to do with his character. And how do you tell somebody, dude, you suck, you a jerk, you know, and that's why I'm not going out with you anymore, you know? How do you do that without, you know, them, you know, I don't know. I don't know, but that was the worst date. So those were my experiences.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, if you have a dating best or worst moment, please feel free to call us at 760-683-2662. Because we want to hear, you know, what you guys are experiencing, what's going on with you guys. But as we... before we transition to the next one, I'll just tell one of my worst stories. Met this girl online, trying the online dating thing, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But, you know, we meet up, and I'm thinking I'm about to see this nice, tight, fit and right, cut like a diamond. Oh, my goodness. Fine, ebony sister. And I get to the restaurant, and listen, I don't have nothing against, you know, my beautiful big girl.
You better get it right. You better get it right.
I don't have nothing wrong with them. They are sexy, too, but don't lie to me. Your picture showed me that you was cut right and down the middle, and I get there, and I'm like, whoa. And so I said, okay, I'm going to still give her a chance. And, you know, the conversation was going really well. And, you know, I was like, okay, she got a cute face, everything. And then she started getting obsessive and was talking, planning our wedding. And if my friends here on the show know that I don't hide my face very well, unless I'm in therapy session or something. So she could just see on my face that things were going sour, and then she was like, where you going? And threatened to slice my tires. So, yeah,
Okay, but Joey, I need to ask a question. I'm sorry. You said I don't have anything against my sexy or bigger than whatever, but I was expecting to see her cut right.
I was. I mean, because in her
picture. So are you inferring that someone who is larger is not cut right?
Nope, not inferring at all. But I'm just saying she, you know, she was deceptive. That was the point, Heather. The point was that she was deceptive. So I'm looking for, you know, she was just sending me these pictures of her, and she was saying they were uptake pictures, you know. But I get there, and I was like, okay, this is not, definitely not what I've seen in the pictures.
So should you have left and not stayed?
No, I didn't want to be completely rude.
Yeah, but she was very deceptive.
Yeah, that was deceptive, but I didn't want to be completely rude, and then I drove all the way out there, so I was like...
Are you saying it's rude to get up and leave?
Huh?
Are you saying it's rude to get up and leave?
No, I ain't saying it's rude. It would have been rude for me to walk up to the table, say, hey, my name, whoa, you know, and then turn around and laugh. Like, that would have been rude. But I see that we have my brother PJ on the phone. PJ, you there?
Yes, I've been here since 7:55.
Oh, that wasn't my own. Well, we're glad you're here. And we're just talking about our dating best and worst moments. And we know you married, bro, but can you recall any dating best or dating worst moments?
Yes, I can recall both. Very vivid. My worst dating moment is when I lived in Nashville. I dated a girl who had quite a number of kids. And the first part of the date was, well, how are you going to take care of these kids? Because I have, you know, four kids and, you know, I'm not just not going to be dating you and, you know, you gotta take care of my kids, and these are the needs, and this one wears glasses, and this one has allergies, and I'm going, we don't know each other yet, you know, and that was her main focus, and I was happy that she loved her kids, but, you know, I think she was kind of pushing them on me too fast, and at the time, I was single with no kids, so it was kind of awkward, and I just told her, you know, when she wanted to go out again, I said, I don't think it's going to work because we're not going at the same speed.
Okay.
My best date, believe it or not, was with my wife at the time. She was my girlfriend, and I was leaving to go to Japan for a month, and she wanted to drive me to the airport. So she drove from New York to D.C. to drive me to Virginia to the airport. And we got a flat tire on the way to the airport. And it took us forever to get that tire straight and everything that we had to do. Actually, we left the car. We went to get something to eat and took a walk. We were kind of just waiting for AAA. And that actually was one of my best dates. And that let me know that she really cared about me because she drove 4 hours to drive me 1 hour because she wanted me to be, she wanted her face to be the last one that I saw before I left to go to Japan.
Wow. Okay. So we all shared our dating best and worst moments. So as we begin this transition, we want to look at what the topic is tonight, which is the dating game. And we want to ask if dating is the only way to meet a mate. Can you date someone and find your life partner? Or can you not date someone and still find your life partner? What is this dating all about, and how should we go about it? And so I wanted to start with Patrice and kind of just tell me, you know, is dating the only way to meet a mate?
Of course, like what you said in your intro, dating being created by Americans and basically designed dating around dating various people with the goal in mind, original goal in mind, to find your mate. But what it's turned into this time, this day and time, is disposable relationships, basically. You know, short-term, short-thrilled relationships. And the goal is not necessarily marriage anymore. It's having a good time. It's blah, 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 whatever. So the sad part about it is we get thrown into whether we want, you know, long-term or short-term or whatever, we get thrown into this huge bowl of people that, you know, have different goals in mind. So that is what's making dating so frustrating, because everybody does not have the same goal. Dating is no longer long-term relationship goal for everybody anymore. And that is why it's becoming so frustrating. So I actually have stopped dating. I just pretty much gave it up as far as if I'm looking for a mate. Now, if I just want to have fun and hang out, you know, and, you know, meet friends, that's fine. You know, hanging out, you can call that dating, whatever. I would like to call it friendship. Again, you know, I know I always say this, friendship is underrated. I think that we don't take advantage of it. I think that we lose a lot of good relationships because we always, you know, go towards the romantic attraction instead of, you know, friendship. And although that's hard, and it may not be realistic for a lot of people, when you see a beautiful person, you just want to explore them physically as well. But we honestly need to stop. You know, we honestly need to, if we want to stop the cycle of what we're going through, then we need to stop, you know, and go another way with this. If you just want to play, then, hey, do your thing. But as far as looking for a mate, I don't think dating is a good idea at all. I'm completely against it, and I'm all for friendship. Friendship is actually going to get you a more heavy-weighted, more in-depth relationship with somebody, you know. And it's a practice. You just can't get up one day and do it. It takes a practice because when you're attracted to them, it's kind of hard to keep it separate in the beginning. But eventually, it will all make sense, you know, what you are to them and what they will be to you. So that's my whole thing. I don't think that if you are looking to get married, I don't think dating is the right way. You know, I'm not saying that it does not work at all, but it's honestly a more frustrating way. Let me just say that, more frustrating way. So that's how I feel about finding your mate. I don't think dating is a good idea.
Then, Patrice, let me ask you this. Then, how do you find your mate in friendship?
Friendship. I know that's hard to take in, but you can do a lot with friendship. You can hang out. You can be with each other. You can have a glass of wine together. You know, I just don't call it dating. Dating to me is you are my boyfriend, and that is it. So I can't see anybody else. When you get into that, I think it's unfair. You know, why do I have to dedicate myself to you and you haven't given me a promise? You know, if there's a promise there of, you know, something further, then I can see us being exclusive. But until that happens, bruh, I think that I need to be free to choose who I want to choose and to, you know, explore who I want to explore. You know, and until that happens, friendship is great. It's great. You can do a lot of things with your friend, you know. And if a kiss falls in there somewhere, you know, I don't know, maybe you want to enjoy that. But the bottom line is keep it at a friendship level. Keep it at an open level. I'm open. I'm free. You know, I'm independent. It's really, you know, liberating.
You're kissing your friend?
Which one? Yes. That's the best person to kiss, actually.
Well, what else is you doing with him?
Oh, my.
You're doing what you say?
I said none of your business.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out this whole dating thing because it's different. But you saying friends, so you kissing your friends, you doing none of your business with your friends. I'm just trying to figure it out, what's good and what's not good.
I think it should be, I think it's just a revolutionized theory that I have about dating. I think it should be changed to that. I don't think that you should be committed to one guy that you are not looking to marry. That's why I call it friendship. You know, I don't call, you know, I might have a different definition of dating than the world. Let me just say that. But
okay,
I know
so
exactly.
Wait, so that means you got 10 friends, you hanging out, you kissing all 10 of those friends?
No, not necessarily. No. But it depends. It depends on the situation. I mean, you know, I can't see myself doing that, and I haven't done it. But, I mean, you know, that's just where I think it should be. And
okay. And
if I am kissing 10 friends, I think something else is an issue. But, you know, depending on each person, of course, each person is different. But, yeah, I would prefer seeing people and not committing myself to one. Of course, and with that in mind, with me, and I'm just going to be transparent here, if I'm seeing different guys going out on dates is what I'm talking about, you know, sharing, you know, evenings with or whatever, I'm not going to sleep with them. I'm not going to sleep with any of them because then that would make me, you know, something else. So if I'm doing that, rest assured that I'm not giving my body, you know. And this is, you know, again, personal. This is something personal. I think that it becomes something else when you're having sex with these multiple people. I'm not saying that these people are, you know, something is wrong with what decisions they're making or whatever. That's just me personally. I, you know, personally believe that I'm way too valuable and, you know, just way too much value on myself to just kind of spread it out like that. So I think
right. Until
I find someone that I, you know, connect with, then that would probably be the one that I would give myself to.
Okay, so we have Francis from Maryland on the line. Hello, Francis.
Hello.
Hi, Francis. Welcome.
Hey, Francis.
Yeah, what's your comment?
Hey, Deidre. My comment is just pretty much, Patrice, I did like the way that you said that, you know, friendship is important, you know, in your stage of dating or, well, not dating, but in your search, let me say that. But at some point, you have to make it exclusive. You can't continue to say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to continue to date and date and date until I get married, because at some point, you guys have to gain of some type of understanding of your exclusiveness, and not necessarily when you get the ring. Because if then at that point, I mean, you haven't gotten to know, I mean, because of course, as your friend, you know, there are things that we discuss, there are things that we talk about, and, you know, we're like friends, hey, buddy, buddy, buddy. But then at some point, it becomes more than that friendship. And you want that level of exclusivity to say that, you know, I really want to be with this person. I really would like to take this further, because if not, you put yourself in a position to get, okay, well, this person isn't really interested. If you continue to show less, I'm not kissing my friend, but, you know, everybody is different. But, you know, if it, like you said, if it falls into something, then at some point you have to make it exclusive. I don't know. I don't know where you cannot date at some point and get married. I mean,
yeah, I know what you. I hear you. I hear you. It's just that in a lot of what you're saying, this is where most women are making the wrong decision. We are giving ourselves in a promising way to someone who has no intentions of giving you his life. Now, if you have the goal of having a life mate, this is what is important. It's important because what this does is keep you from giving him lifespan and he's just not doing anything with it. In other words, and at the end of the day or the years, you've wasted time on this one guy, and what he's become is a roadblock to the potential one that could have been, but he was in the way because you was exclusive with him. So in a mature kind of this is not easy at all. When you start seeing people, you start liking them and y'all compatible and blah, 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 it's extremely hard not to give him more. But that is, again, where we keep making the wrong decisions. We have to make it loud and clear that, hey, if you want this, you have got to come forth and put something on the table. You have got to give me a promise. You got to give me a plan. You got to give me your vision so that I can say yes or no. Until that happens, brother, and I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad because we're still hanging out. Until that happens, then you can have me. But if that does not happen, no, you cannot have me. And I think that's only for women that are looking for their life mate. And that takes a bold woman. That takes a strong, you know, and bold kind of, you know, woman to do something like that. But when you're tired of crap and you're tired of pain and you're tired of hurt, you got to do something different to have a different result.
Correct. And this different result comes in everything. We need wisdom. In every stage of your life, you need wisdom. And at some point in your life, I mean, yes, and I do agree that there are a lot of women who are settling, who are falling into repeated traps. But when you fall into repeated traps, it's not the other person that or the exclusivity that has gotten you there. It's you. You have to take a step back at you and find out, what am I doing wrong? What is happening with me? Because let me say that it also comes into play that if we're spiritually connected and if it's a lifelong thing and it's God ordained, guess what? My wisdom will take me to my level of exclusivity, and it won't take me there before. Now, if you step out of the wheel, now that's when we get into our own self. But if you say, okay, yeah, I'm going to date this person, you know, I'm going to be this person's friend, we're going to do 6 months, I like you, I'm kicking you, it's a little deeper than liking, kicking it when you really got a relationship with Christ. You consult on different levels with God at any friendship, whether it be women or male. There is something much more deeper that you go into when you're spiritually connected with God. And I'm not talking about the holy roller. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying if you really seeking and you really, you know what I'm saying, that person that you was talking about saying, hey, you know, that really takes a real strong woman. That takes a woman that's connected to God.
Thank you so much, Frances, for your comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're not moving on. We're gonna move on to PJ. I want to just get PJ's opinion on. I want to get everybody's opinion on, is dating the only way to meet a mate? So PJ, go ahead and give us an answer.
I don't think dating is the only way to meet a mate. I think, and I only say this because I do a lot of travel. I just think that dating is an American thing. I think that dating is a social thing that we do in order for us to kind of decide based on our, you know, based on physically and emotionally how we feel about a person, and then we make a lifelong covenant with them. But there are several other cultures where when the man and woman meet, you know, they've already made a decision. Whoever my parents or whoever my guardians have chosen for me, this is a person that I will live with. I think that dating is just an American thing that we do and we decide. I think that, for me, marriage is much more than the confines of dating. You can date somebody for years, but until you live with them and abide with them, you don't really know them. So I think there are other ways of finding a life mate other than getting married. There are arranged marriages. There are marriages that are done, you know, with different things. What I mean by that, there are marriages based on Okay, are both of these people financially compatible? Are they in the same tax bracket? This personality matches with this. So there are a lot of other ways, and just with dating, you have a lot of options. You have the internet, you have, and the internet has just, to me, changed the whole face of dating, because you can develop a relationship with somebody without seeing them, or without touching them, without looking into their eyes. So there are, I think a myriad of ways that people can find a life partner without dating.
Okay. And Heather, what do you believe? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to say what I think, but I do want to say that I don't necessarily, and I don't need a banner to say it, but I love the Lord, and I believe I'm saved and I'm a part of the kingdom, but I don't ask God whether or not I should go out with Tommy on Friday night. Maybe I should start, but I don't do that. So I don't think that we need to, we do acknowledge Christ in all our ways, but I don't think we need to be telling people wisdom and God needs to kick in for you to go have lunch with the guy who asked you across the street. I think you can figure that part out. God has much bigger things to do. That being said, I agree wholeheartedly with PJ that dating is what is part of our culture here. I have friends who are in arranged marriages. You know, one guy, Sheree, is a very good friend of mine. He and his wife met the day they got married, and they've been together some 15, 16 years. And it's always been like one of those things that I've looked at with like wide eyes, because it showed the things that we say in our culture marriage is, their marriage proves it, of commitment, loyalty, till death do us part, for better or for worse, riches or poor, sickness and health. They had to go through that because they made that commitment. And so, it's very easy for us. I don't think dating is the only way. I know some people teach that you're not really dating someone until you have decided that that's who you're going to marry. And so you're dating once you're engaged, or it's a courtship, those types of things. I think you can, date someone for many years and that become your life partner by way of process of elimination. I think two people can walk in a room and know that by that conversation, that first glance, they're meant to be together. And I think that two people can be friends and decide to be together. I think it's a decision. And if we looked at it more as a decision and a choice and not so much as some butterfly in your stomach or some pitter-patter of your heart, we'd be more apt to do right by marriage, relationships, and mates. And so I think that's where the difficulty comes in, is when we're using the butterfly all head in the sky, Google Gaga. I mean, two people can be friends. I much agree with what Patrice said about being friends, hanging out, dating. I feel like if you're single, my only thing is that if that's who you want, if you want to sleep with your friend, you have to make that choice, but you also have to own up to the consequences and whatever heart issues you go through after that. So, that's kind of where I stand. But I think that people can find mates in many ways. But I think having a mate is a choice. It is a decision. And we really need to move away from God sent me him, or it was meant to be, he's my soulmate. Whoever you attach your soul to, you can attach your soul to your car. It is your soulmate.
But you know what, Heather? The Bible doesn't say anything about soulmates or any of that. The Bible says he that findeth a wife.
Absolutely.
So that means that he has to go out. He has to go out and look and make a decision.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, not to criticize anybody in church, but the whole soulmate thing, and this person was made for me. I can't find any scripture to back that up.
Me neither.
Somebody has to back that up. Please call.
Please call.
And let us know, but, from what the Bible says, it says that a man has to find, so that means he has to be looking.
Right.
You know, and he has to decide to find.
And that's where I was going with that, is that it also means he chooses that, hey, now I want a wife. And that's the big thing where, you know, women need to get that, is that when he's ready for a wife, he's going to have one. Because he's going to find one. He's going to find that one for him. I don't think, you know, I don't know where the church got caught up into the soulmates and God, because I've seen it 100 times over being a PK. I've seen it 100 times over. Oh, no, God sent me him. This is my blessing and da-da-da-da-da. And y'all, what happened to God? All this confession and laying it on God instead of saying, I chose, and this is what happens. And I think you can, by definition of what we do as dating, if at the core value, if we did it the way it's intended to be, that means go out, get to know one another, bowl, court each other, talk, all of those things, that's the way you get to know someone, and that is more so friendship.
And no sex.
I agree. I don't think, I believe, now this is what I believe about sex. Now, I'm one of those people who
We're going to talk about sex and dating.
Say anything about sex and dating. I'm just going to say this. I'm one of those people who only takes the union of marriage because God has ordained it and called it the right thing to do, to have sex. Otherwise, I definitely could be in a relationship for the rest of my life and be happy without being married.
And Deidre, you agree with everything? Is she dead? Well, if Deidre's not here, we are looking for you to call in. The number is 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. We are looking to hear from you guys. So as we transition to our next topic, dating with children, is it possible? And what about the baby mama and baby daddy? Now, let me tell y'all, as y'all getting y'all answers together, let me just say that in the beginning of my dating life, I was a firm believer that you bring to the table what's at the table. And so I don't have any children, so I was like, I'm not going to date no one that has no kids because I'm not bringing that to the table. I'm not knocking people that date people with children or anything like that, but in the beginning, you know, I was like, nah, I don't have no kids. I'm not bringing a child or a baby mama to the table, so I'm not going to accept that either because there's just so many different challenges and things that come with it. But let me just say that my thoughts have definitely changed. And it's one of those things where I had a conversation with my father, and he was like, you know, you have to be able to you have to be able to have a conversation, and you have to talk about, like, the ins and outs, the do's and don'ts. And you definitely have to understand that, know your role in the relationship with the person and your role with the person's child and your role with the person's, with the child's parent. And we just had a very deep conversation, and so it's changed a little. I'm not, maybe not 2 or 3 children, but I definitely would consider, if I see somebody that's attractive or somebody that I'm interested in, their personality catches me, I think, and they have a child, I think I would consider talking to them. But let's just get some expert opinions, or let's hear from my other co-host. Heather, what do you think about dating with children? Is it possible?
I mean, I think it's possible. I have, you know, many different theories, and as you all know, I am a parent, and I am single. So it is something that you have to, as the parent, take into consideration in dating. I think you know, people who choose not to date people with children, I don't have anything against those people. I feel like that's just like saying I don't date light skin, or I don't date dark skin, or I don't like fat, I don't like skinny. I believe it's definitely a preference, And it is not necessarily what people like to say a ready-made family, but it is something that you have to take into consideration, that you're not only taking on the relationship you have with that man or that woman, but you also have to, in turn, build a relationship with that child at the same time. And that can be very difficult. Luckily for me, there's always been a resource of male figures with my child, with his dad, uncles, grandparents, godparents. So it's never been a burden for me in a relationship with a man where he's had to feel like he's the only role model or the father figure that my child sees. Mm. I'm also in a, you know, unique situation where I have the resources to have childcare. So, you know, if I'm dating someone until it becomes serious, he pretty much doesn't know one person from the other. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not. So I think those are the things that people need to consider until a relationship is exclusive and, you know that this is a person that you're going to be with long term. You definitely should not be introducing them to your children. There are some people who teach the philosophy that if you have a child and you're not married or you're divorced or separated, whatever, and that child is under the age of 18, you shouldn't be dating until that child is of age, because your whole focus. And I know my god sister's mother made that choice when my godfather passed to not date or anything, but to focus her energies on raising her daughter. And that was a sacrifice she decided to make to be an example for her daughter and not allow dating or anything else to be a distraction. So I think, you know, it's ways that you can do it, but I don't think that people who have children should be offended when someone chooses not to date them, and nor should those of us who have children obligate people to be parental or role models in the lives of our children. We really need to keep that area separate until marriage is definitely on the table.
I think, but Heather, let me ask you this. I think my, my biggest, I would say fear, maybe it's shared with a lot of different people, is just the proposed baby mama or baby daddy drama that comes with it. Not so much the child, but more so like just the other baggage that comes with it. So what are your thoughts on like how to approach that part of that perspective of the dating with children?
Well, I think that for, you know, a lot of instances, that is a red flag, that is an indicator on whether or not that person is dateable overall. Because when a person is a parent and they cannot, as two adults, you know, separately but jointly raise a child, rear their child, and get along at some level, then they may not be prepared to be dated. They may not be the one, it may not be in timing for them, because that is something to look at. I mean, I think that, you know, relationships go sour and people become angry and do things and say things that they shouldn't do, and they use children as pawns. So you have to see how that person deals in that situation. If they agitate that situation, if they contribute to the strife, they're not somebody that you want to date. They're just not somebody that you want to date, because that rolls over into other areas of their life. And people literally, trust me, become consumed with, I'm going to agitate you because I had a child, or I'm keeping it with me this weekend. You can't go through all of that. You can't be fighting somebody over child support. You have to be prepared to be a sole provider for that child if that's what the case is. And do that with joy. You can't waste energy. So, you know, that is a big fear for a lot of people. And I know as a young woman who did not have it when I didn't have a child so long ago, I can't really remember. But when I didn't, you know, one of my things, I dated a gentleman and he had a son. And when I tell you I went through the ringer, it was helter-skelter. Not just the baby mama sisters, everybody. Just want to fight you. And what I decided to do was that no matter what, I was going to respect her and I was going to care for her child like I would want someone to do for me. And many years later, you know, we got very cool. I started getting invited to the birthday parties, and the relationship developed because I intended to be nice and to be civil and to let her know I'm not a threat to him being a father. And sometimes when you're in a relationship that you, you know, if you want to make that sacrifice, you can do that. But it's not something I definitely wouldn't necessarily propose it for any and everybody, because at the end of the day, you have to prepare yourself to say, if I fall in love with this person, am I ready? For somebody like you, you know, who doesn't have any children, am I ready to take on one? Or if she got four, like in PJ's case, am I ready to take on four? And back glasses and allergies and, you know, all of that. So it's something to consider.
Right.
And it is bringing together a union. Yeah. You should definitely consider it.
Okay, Deidre, what's your thoughts on dating with children? Is it possible?
Anything is possible. I'll first say that. However, I believe that I kind of have the same mindset of how you used to be. You know, you come to the table with the same thing. As though I am single, I do want a couple of kids, you know what I'm saying? You know, so if he already has two or three kids, yeah, it may not be something that's going to work out for us, depending on how, you know, if he wants more kids and stuff like that. Another reason why I don't necessarily, my preference is not to deal with people who have kids, is I've experienced someone who said, my child comes first. And that's a fight that you'll never win. And if I'm coming into a relationship and I'm saying I'm giving all of me for all of you, and you've already told me that other than God, your child is already in front of me, and on my end, the only person in front of you is God, then we're not even coming to the table with the same thing. So I'm constantly going to have to fight with you and your kid, and I'm only wanting the best. You know what I'm saying? I'm already figuring out in my head, you know, if this child is school age and I, you know, get involved with this person, you know, I'm going to actually have to help them, send them to college if that's the child's dream or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I'm putting more in. And then another aspect of it is if I meet a guy and he says he has kids, but he's not taking care of them, yeah, that's a deal breaker. If you're not taking care of your kids, then it's a wrap. Because what if
Absolutely.
I have kids? Then you're not going to take care of my kid too? No, that's a wrap. That's it.
That's all you have?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, Patrice, what's your thoughts? What do you think about this whole dating with children?
I think people should be free to date when they have children, and I think everybody should make their choices on whether or not they want to date people with children. You know, it's different for everybody, but I think everybody should be able to date if they want to when they have children. I think it should be definitely explained to the kids what's going on. You know, mommy is single or whatever that conversation, however that goes. But I've seen plenty of people successfully date, you know, with kids. So that's my take on that, since, you know, I don't have any. So, but that's what I would, that's how I feel about that.
Okay, so the number tonight, guys, if you want to weigh in on this, the discussion is 760-683-2662. Again, 760-683-2662. PJ, what you think about this whole dating with children and the baby mama, baby daddy drama?
I have two opinions, and I would like for everybody to hear them before they comment. I believe that if you love somebody, and you want to, if you love somebody I think you love them and all of the byproducts of them. But at the same time, I think that all of those things need to be discussed. I think that a single person has to make the decision if they're single, if they want to deal with kids or not. I think that that's that single person's choice, if they want to deal with kids. So if I've decided to hold myself or abstain from things that will have me having kids because I do not want the responsibility of taking care of them, and they decide that I don't want the responsibility of taking care of somebody else's kid, then that's their responsibility. And I think that the person with children should respect the person's without children's decision. Now, I think that if you're going to get involved, I don't think that the child has to know about every date that you go on. I think that for me, my policy is that if I'm, you know, I'm married now, but if, you know, God forbid something happened to my wife and I had to go back out in the dating thing, I wouldn't let my kids know about who I was dating unless it was serious, because I don't want to put somebody in the kid's life who I don't know is not going to be permanent. That's my thing. And at the same time, I don't want to get involved in some kid's life and fall in love with the kid and not know if I'm in love with the parent. Because, you know, a child's love is unconditional. So sometimes you can fall in love with a kid. You can love a kid and like the person that you're dating and mess around and be with them because you love the kid. But if that person that you're dating doesn't work, it doesn't matter if you love the kid or not. So I think that that needs to be discussed, and I think that if you have, you know, if there are baby mamas or baby daddies or whatever you want to call it, I think that whatever it is needs to be discussed. You know, somebody has to say, look, I have a baby mama. She crazy. You know, she might slit your ties once she knows you're over here. And I think are things that you should know. That you should know, because my thing is, if I had to date somebody else, I wouldn't want to be at her house and then some dude outside calling me out. I think if you know that who you with is crazy, you know, and they prone to fight or they prone to cut, and slash your ties and bust your windows, I think that that's something that I should know going in. I don't think that I should have to have that discussion, you know, when I have a six-way breeze.
Right.
So I think that those things, need to be discussed. I think, and y'all can kill me for this if you want, I think it's too much sex and flesh and not enough communication in relationships. Because the lack of communication always catches up with, and it's always months behind the physical stuff. You know, you fall in love with the physical, you marry the physical, and then the things that you should communicate it come behind you 6 months to a year later, and now you have to deal with what somebody should have told you a long time ago. And I wanted to say something to Deidre. I don't know what person that you deal with, but I think that when a person who has children says that their child comes first, I don't think that that always means that you don't have a place. I think that when they say their child comes first, I think that the safety and the well-being of their child is their first responsibility.
Okay, that ain't what he's saying.
I'm not saying. Okay, I understand, but I don't. And I gave a disclaimer, said that, you know, I'm not talking about what he's saying, but I mean, I've heard other people say that. You know, I've heard my wife say that. But what she really meant was that I have to, no matter what happens with you and I have to see about the well-being of my child. And no matter where you and I are, the well-being of my child is my responsibility, whether you and I sink or swim.
And that's very valid. I mean, that's how my mom raised her kids. But there, you also have to understand that there are people out there who have the mindset that my kid comes first. Period. I'll deal with everything about you after my kid. If I want to spend some quality time, if I want to spend some quality time with you, let me make sure that, you know, my kid ain't got all of these extracurricular activities and all this kind of stuff. Well, dude, if you're going to do that, then handle your business with your kid till they're grown, and then you're in a position to give me some time. Because I'm single. I don't have no kids. I want to get to know you.
But I think
so.
But
what I'm saying is, if you can't give me the time to get to know you better, because your number one focus is your kid, then get off the market and deal with your kid. That's fine. I ain't got no problem with that. But then when you come and you say you want to be in something with me and you're talking about your future, you're going to have to allot some time for Deidre.
Well, I think what I will say to a statement like that is twofold. Number one, I think that anytime you make the decision to date someone with a child, you also make the decision to make sacrifices that you wouldn't make if you were a parent. Because that's the same as if you can't get a babysitter, it's not make no time for me. The kids don't go to bed until 8:30, 9 o'clock. We got to do homework. They got baseball practice. I can't fit no time in here for you right now, so we have to be adults about this and maybe do something at midnight, so you're going to have to stay up a little bit later. So I think that that's on one hand. The second part of that is someone who is saying, I'm not going to deal with you. You're always going to become second to them and what they need. That's not the person for you today, because that's just going to filter over and fester and garner resentment. However, if you don't have – right, so, I mean, in that instance, you're cool. But at the same time, there is going to be some level of sacrifice that you're going to make as a single person without children if you date someone with children. There's just certain things that have to be done.
Right.
You know, for me, it's a – you know, I kind of have to do the whole thing of I'm going to talk to you on the phone late at night. Now, to some people, a woman not up that time of night on the phone – but pretty much that's how it's going to have to work, or you're going to keep hearing me say, hold on, and you're going to keep hearing Avery say, mommy, had her. That's just the way it's going down.
Right.
So everybody has to make the sacrifices.
Right. I was just going to say that while the single person is going to have to make some sacrifices, the parent is also should be willing to make sacrifices as well, rather than, let's just say, your weekend that the kids are not there. That weekend, you're spending them with this person rather than going hanging out with the boys or hanging out with your girls. You're trying to build something. Versus you saying, you know, well, you know, yeah, my kids, you know, they got basketball practice, they got homework, you know, I got to feed them and make sure, and I'll talk to you in the evening. And then you still go on about your life where, hey, on Friday nights, I go and hang out with my boys. Okay, so I've sacrificed to talk to you at 12 o'clock when I got to get up at 6:30 in the morning, and then on Friday you want to go hang out with your boys but not hang out with me. Yeah, I'm going to keep it pushing. Holla, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah, if that was the case, Deidre, he just wanted to have sex.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is one of those things. PJ hit it right on the head. I'm the biggest advocate for communication, and that's one of the things you have to have. You have to communicate, hey, I'm not, you know, I got to make sure the safety and well-being of my children, you know, I got to work this out between my, you know, my child's father or my child's mother. This is how we're going to do these things. And when you're having that conversation, the person is going to make, if they are serious about you, they're going to make time for you. They're going to take care of their priorities, and they're going to make time for you. And then you're saying, okay, I'm interested in this person, so I'm going to work with them. I'm going to, okay, I know that they got the child every weekend, so I'm going to make sure that during the week that we spend the time, I'm going to make that sacrifice as well. That's how it should be. Ideally, it can work for people if they open their mouths and they're honest about what they want and what their needs are, and it can happen. But if neither person is, you know, true, or you get that selfish person that says, you know, my kids are first or my friends are first, you know, maybe not kids, they'll say my friends are first, or my car is first or whatever. You know, you get somebody that's saying all of that, and they mean it in the, not in the sense like PJ put it, that they're going to take care of their child, but more so that this is what their priority is. Then you have to make that decision, like you said, Deidre. You got to make that decision to roll out or not. So as we transition into our next bullet point, and I want to thank everybody for sharing their comments, and thank Heather as well for being our person who's actually kind of in that situation. So I want to say thank you to Heather for sharing. But as we transition to our next point, and this is one that is particularly something that I battle with, and that is, I know this relationship is toxic, but I don't want to start all over again. What should I do? And I have stayed in some messed up relationships because I don't want to take the time to have to learn a person, got to learn their attitude, got to start the romance, like the foundation of romance all over again. And so I'll stay in a relationship so I don't have to go through the breakup, then go through the healing portion, and then start all up, meet somebody else, got to approach them at church or at the bar or wherever you meet people online, whatever, and then have to learn this person all over again, learn what makes them angry, what makes them happy. You know, like all of that is fun, but it kind of gets time-consuming and frustrating when you have to do it repeatedly and you don't really get the outcome that you want. So you guys out there listening, if you have a comment on, I know this relationship is toxic, but I don't want to start all over again, you can call us at 760-683-2662. But you guys, tell me, Patrice, Heather, Deidre, PJ, what do you think about this bullet point on, I know this relationship is toxic, but I don't want to start all over again?
What's your question, PJ?
My question is, what's keeping you there if you know it's toxic? Why are you not running at 100 miles an hour?
You want to make it work. And
exactly.
You have something inside of you. Y'all know how I am about me, but I was in a very funny now, but so unfunny then relationship for 7 years. He had no intentions on marrying me. I knew he was not the person that I could marry. We don't even want to go into the cheating, the fighting, the yelling, the screaming. I mean, some things have happened that people would be appalled to know that I had even participated in. Because you have some mystery cap on that says it's toxic. I mean, I've even said, but no, these dudes out here, all of them are doing the same thing and da-da-da-da, so I might as well just stay here and be with him. At least this is a devil I know. I mean, so you get into it and you psych yourself into thinking. And, you know, people may say, oh, you don't think you're worth more and you could do it. It's not about what you're worth. It's about, this is a danger and a hazard I already know. Although it's a maze, I know how to make it through this. I know how to walk on these landmines out here and survive. To get out of this and to go into another field and have to discover if landmines are there and if so, how to get around them. I don't have any more fight for that. And to be in a relationship, the one thing I've learned is no matter who it is, what it is, it can be perfectly good, they can be jacked up, or they can have everything straight. It is still work. And when you've worked, and for me, when you work, like after the first 3-4 years done worked, and then 5 years you done worked, you just don't have no more work fight in you. You stay there. And it becomes a part of you. And you deceive yourself into believing that, you know what, if I hold on, and I'm telling you, the church will jack you up. because people will be saying to you, 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind, love is patient, love is long-suffering. love believes all things, love hopes all things, love endures all things. Baby, I done it, and trust me, love don't do it. You will be messed up. 7 years, and I'm telling you, it has not been until recent year that he and I can hold a conversation, and I don't just have flashbacks. And I'm talking about crazy stuff that you begin to do that's totally out of your character. You'll stay in a toxic relationship because it's what you know, and it's like anything else. No matter how nasty it is, if you keep drinking it, if you keep tasting it, if you keep looking at it, at some point it's not nasty anymore. When you was a kid and you see porno, you'd be like, ugh, that's nasty. Look at it again. Ooh, why are you doing that? Ooh, that's why are you doing that? Then you sit on the bed staring at it, and next thing you know, you looking on TV, you on the internet, you on your phone. That's how you stay in a toxic relationship. Because I'm telling you, for a year after it was over, you know how everybody stand up and testify at New Year's night service? Oh, my only testimony for it was a year was, God, thank you for getting me out, and I got my right mind. Because you'll be there, and you'll believe it's right.
Wow. Well, we have a caller on the line, Jay. Oh, Jeff? Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hearing what everybody is saying about, especially how they, when she just said, the work that she had to put in and all that, and, the fight is not there. I have to come on the end of that and say that you are not going to be golden on your first relationship. You are not going to know everything. You are not going to be the super duper best on your first relationship. All that stuff takes work, and it takes work because you go through relationship after relationship, and finally you come to a point, hopefully, that you will be married, and you will bring all of that you learned from relationship to relationship into where you are at when you become a husband or a wife. And from there, you just apply all of that or take it away as you move through with your spouse. So if you think that you're going to be 16, when you're 16 years old and you're looking at that boy, you're looking at that girl and talking about, I love you, that love, everybody will tell you, is the most childish love possible. But when you like 21, 25, and 27 or 30 or whatever, and you to the point where you in love again, and you trying to tell somebody, I want to be your husband, I want to be your wife, they don't tell you that there's different levels of love. There's no such thing as that. When you're in love, you're in love. You feel it the same way. So you need that practice. If you don't have that practice, then you're going to automatically assume that you know something, and it's going to be all wrong. And then you're going to have that situation where it's like, oh, well, this broke down over here, this broke down over there, and now I got to start all over. Well, you have to look at starting all over like a job situation. It's a new opportunity. So you got to, again, put your best foot forward, take what you learned from the last spot, apply the good stuff, try and deal with the bad stuff and get through it if you can, because that stuff, you have to get to that situation to where if you're a guy, you have to know when a woman is right for you to say, baby, I want to marry you, and you got to get to that point where you know for sure, without a doubt, that you're this woman in this relationship, and when that man asks you, when that man finally asks you to marry him, you have to know that, yes, this is a good fit, and I'm going to say yes. But if that practice is not there, you're jumping for all the wrong reasons.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your comment. Somebody has something to say? Oh, okay. Well, go ahead, Heather. I think that was it.
No, Treat can go ahead. I was just going to ask the question, but I'm thinking she's going to answer me. before I ask. So go ahead.
No, I doubt it. But I completely understand why people stay in toxic relationships, you know, to be in that person's shoes and to be where they are. You know, who can honestly say what they would do unless they're there? So I completely, you know, understand that's like a stronghold that you honestly have to decide to come out of on your own. But as far as starting all over again, that's actually my favorite part. You know, I like
really?
New stuff, and I love meeting new people. It's an adventure, you know. But, again, that's just the type of person that I am. So starting new relationships is my favorite part, you know. So I think that's all I would have to contribute to that topic.
But I think, okay, I agree with the starting over and that you do have to step out and try new things. But I think at some point it has to click or it does get old. And one of the things that my mother used to say to me, and there are times, of course you all know this, where her and I can debate really hard about something. But that particular thing she never did. And the one thing she would always say to me was, when you have enough, it will be your enough.
Mm.
And I tell people all the time, nothing stops with anybody, not with drugs, not with alcohol. And we don't realize how much we make people our own addiction or our own idols. And until it's enough for us, it's just like anything else. You may be able to stay underwater with your breath held for 5 minutes, I mainly can do a few seconds. And, you know, no matter what you say, what happens, the results of anything, until that person has had enough, it's not going to be enough for them. Because just like anything else, they can make an excuse for behavior. Now, that's the one thing about love that does happen, is that you will cover somebody when you love them.
Yes, you will.
You will cover whatever they do. You will reason it out. You'll rationalize. You know you sounding crazy. He wasn't really trying to hit me. We was arguing, and he started flinging his hands because he was just frustrated. No. He was trying to knock your head off and caught you on the side of your face. It's just, so until a person knows they're enough, you can't drag them, pull them, fight them out of it. It has to be it's a personal choice to say, you know what, this is not for me. It's not for me.
I want to say one thing.
Go ahead, Deidre.
I've stayed in a toxic relationship, one, because I don't want to give up on anyone. And that stems because I don't want anybody to give up on me. And so while, you know, as Heather and Patricia says, you know, yeah, you like the new and it's your comfort, whatever, Patrice. What I am saying is that just like I know their crap, they know my crap.
Mm-hmm.
So to end this relationship means that I have to expose myself yet again to
somebody else,
and they're not going to like what they see. And so this person, who I know that he's going to cheat on me, I know he's doing what he's doing, but he still accepts that I might not like to hang up my clothes. He might accept that, you know, he accepts the fact that I'll go and blow $500 on some shoes. You know what I'm saying? He's accepting me for me, and I don't have to go and start all over and let everybody else know my business because I was raised, you don't tell people your business. And so if I have to go out and share all of this stuff again, I'm going to stay where I am. I'm good. Yeah, he hit me upside my head, but I'm good. I'm good. Y'all go ahead.
But you know what, Joe, can I say, Deidre has a very strong point with that, what she said, but also with the trying to show somebody that you're going to be there for them. That's been a very big struggle for me because I've always put myself, never the other person, but put myself under the standard of, if I told them I'm down with them.
Right.
And I'm loyal and I'm a friend and I'm going to be there no matter what.
Right.
Then I got to stand to that. And so you have to figure out in your own head, when are you supporting them and being loyal, but it's hurting you in the process?
Exactly.
Mm.
Because you want to stand by your word and you want to show them that love does, if you make a mistake or if you err, love is still there. And I still want you. I still feel like you deserve me and you deserve a good relationship. But you cannot let that sabotage what is right by you. And
right.
I think that's the difficulty that we struggle with, especially people. Me and Deirdre do have things in common, see? People like us who feel like if I put my word on it, because that's how I am with a dude.
Yes.
If I put my word on you and I'm down with you, he can be looking whack as grits, but if that's his flow and that's what he wants to do, I'm down with that. I got
right.
your back. You know what I'm saying? I want to support you. I want to push you. I want to be your biggest cheerleader. I want to be the voice you hear out in the crowd, the face you see when you open your eyes. So
yes.
when you put that level of commitment into it, it's hard to walk away from it because you feel like if I stay, maybe he will see that I'm still here in his corner. And he'll turn it around. Maybe he'll see that I'm still on his side. I'm still on his team. And he'll turn it around. And when that doesn't happen, that is crushing.
Yes.
And then to the other thing that she's saying about being embarrassed, when you have put that much into a person and decided to stand by them thick or thin no matter what, it's very hard to look people in the face around you.
Yep.
Wow.
And say,
yep.
it is.
It's not going to work. It's hard
it
to do that. It's hard. And I'm telling you, from being with someone and, you know, them saying, let's do this, let's do that, and you're like, I didn't come up with this whole idea of exclusive, you know, let's be on the path to marriage and all of that, and then it doesn't happen, it's hard to look at people behind that.
Right.
You're better afterwards, but in the midst of that, that's hard. And so I think that those are the different layers that come into play with somebody.
Right.
And trying to just up and leave.
And I'll let you go on to the next thing, but that's not only in just dating relationships, that's in relationships across the board.
Mm.
So very true.
I just think that as we prepare to move on, I do honestly believe I want, like, you guys definitely hit the points that I wanted to touch in that topic, because that was my life for a long time, like just being so afraid to move on because I pour so much into the relationship. I expose so much. And like you said, I'm used to this person. They know me. I know them. And you're telling me that I have to cover myself back up, essentially put the fig leaves back on, put the sheep's clothes back on, and cover myself up and then re-expose myself layer by layer to someone else and then have them, you know, expose themselves to me. It's just not a fun process. Like, starting over is cool. But when you really, really, oh, my God, when you really, really have to open yourself up to someone, it's a scary feeling. And you're like, I will stay right in something that I know is not good for me. And we'll have to open this topic back up again on another show because I have so much more to share about that. But I want to move to what I truly believe a lot of people are looking for, and that's they are looking for a mate, and that's dating to marriage. How do we move from dating to marriage? And I wanted to I definitely wanted to get PJ's and Deidre's in our last couple of minutes in the show to really get their perspective on how to move from dating to marriage, and then hear from Heather and Patrice on what they believe is the way or just some thoughts on how to move. So PJ, starting with you, and then we'll, you know, give room for Deidre. What do you think? How do you move from dating to marriage?
I think that you move from dating to marriage by knowing what you want in a marriage. I think you have to spend some time getting to know yourself. And I said this before, I think you have to be a man to be married. A lot of times people are, you know, marriage is not for boys and girls. Marriage is for men and women. So, and what I mean by that is being a man is, you know, making the decision and being responsible for everything that comes with that decision. Being a man is knowing yourself, knowing what you want, knowing what you will put up with, knowing what you won't put up with. And Jeff said earlier, sometimes that takes, you know, a few relationships to really get to that point. Me personally, I made a decision that I wanted to be single for a long time. And I wanted to be married when I didn't want to be single anymore, because I never wanted to be married and want to do single things. I never wanted to be married and want to still go out. I never wanted to be married and still have a desire to do, you know, other things that I did as single. Like, for me, if I didn't have to, I'd be happy staying in the house every day. I wouldn't have to go out, but my life and career are different. So you have to know what you want. You have to know what your non-negotiables are. And when you find those things, then you go after them, then you start having a discussion. For me in my life, I needed somebody to love me when I didn't love myself, also when I didn't love them. Because I know that that's the type of person that I can be. I know that relationships aren't perfect. I know there may be times when I receive no love, and I'm able to love a person even when I don't receive love from them. But I had to know that that person could also do that for me, so that when I found that, you know, that was my foundation. And when I found that, then we could talk about and work through all of the other areas.
And I'll just come in real quick. PJ is an outstanding example of how to go from dating to marriage. However. I'm going to be learning from here, from him, considering that, I'm divorced. So, Joey, I didn't successfully move from dating to marriage. Well, I moved from dating to marriage to divorce. So,
But, Deidre, I don't think that because you got divorced that you didn't, there wasn't some success. Like, yeah, please believe me, divorce is a very difficult subject.
No, I say that because while my ex and I, we were friends before we got married, I was very adamant in the beginning that that's all we should stay. And then it wasn't until I had people speaking into my life about, you know, you should be married, settle down, have kids, he's a good guy, you know, da-da-da-da-da, that my going over what I knew was best, I did it anyway. So I rushed into something when my core was saying, hell to the no. And then it ended in divorce. So if anything, any positive thing that could be learned out of that is don't rush into something and don't go into anything based on what your mama is saying, what your daddy, what your girlfriends, anything. Don't do it. When you're ready to move from dating to marriage, let it be your decision. And that's it.
Wow. Okay, Tree. Any comments on dating to marriage?
Dating to marriage. I don't have I don't actually have anything to say about that. All I honestly have to say is if the plan or the opportunity or the promise is put on the table, you know, from whoever you are seeing, then it creates that particular marriage. But again, you guys know my views. Friendship to marriage. That's just a clean cut, you know, no drama, you know, way that it can be done. You know, if you can keep it, you know, as a great loving friendship, then it can blossom into anything. If you master friendship, you can do anything together. So That's basically how I feel about that. And I hate PJ.
Oh, gosh. No, what I was going to say is that dating, marriage, having a mate, a partner, those are all things that are a choice. And you should definitely make those according to your personal needs and desires. I think that dating is a wonderful thing, and marriage is a wonderful thing. And for people who wish to be married or people who just wish to be in relationship, they can be successful at both, and that it is work. And don't deceive yourself. As PJ often says, marriage is not for boys and girls. And I don't think that, you know, we should deceive ourselves in thinking courting or dating or a relationship with anyone at any level is for the weak or faint at heart. You have to be invested in it and be willing to sacrifice and be vulnerable. So if you feel like you're at that place, you can do that.
All right. Well, as we are coming up on our close, I definitely want to give time for each person, maybe if they can squeeze in a minute or so, just kind of talking about the no more games in dating. If you can just give somebody a really quick just overview of what you feel is what no more games in dating would mean as we come to a close, starting with our ladies.
For me, no more games in dating would simply mean two people who are brutally honest and transparent.
Okay.
For me, no games in dating would obviously be transparency, but also keeping it real. I mean, just be honest with what it is that you want.
Okay. Tree?
Yeah, what was the question?
This your final remarks on too busy raping people. No more dating games.
You said my final thoughts on the dating game?
Just no more games. What would you tell people about no more games?
I would say stop dating, dag on it. That's what I'd say. Stop dating. Stop dating
dag
one
on
and have many. That's what I'm saying. Enjoy
I gotta
life.
Think. Hurry up.
At the end? Okay, I'm done.
Okay, PJ, no more games.
I would say don't be deceptive. Once you decide to, move from dating to marriage, don't be deceptive, especially to yourself. I think that's where we make our biggest mistake.
No more deception. Well, as we come to a close, I definitely want to thank everyone who listened tonight. We are very appreciative of your support and you guys listening to us. Next week's show, next Wednesday at 8 p.m., we want you to tune in. Amongst Friends, we'll be talking about sex drive and when his sex drive declines. Ladies, we want to hear from you if you've ever dated a man whose sex drive, your sex drive is on high and his sex drive is on low, how you deal with it. We're going to be talking about this. And we definitely want to hear from you guys. I want to thank all of the co-hosts, my brothers and my sisters. We appreciate you. I appreciate you guys coming on and talking about the dating game. And we are hoping that you, everyone that is listening tonight, everyone that's in the chat room, or everyone that's on our Amongst Friends chat, we hope that you have learned a little bit about not playing a dating game, but seriously looking for a mate and looking at the dynamics in dating. We love you. Continue to listen to us. You can find us on Amongst Friends at www.blogtalkradio.com/Amongst Friends, or you can look us up on Facebook in the Amongst Friends group, or you can always, always call 760-683-2662. Or you can listen to the on-demand shows at blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. We love you, and good night, people.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Later.
You can go on your darn date.
And I am going on my day.
Well, go ahead and make sure.
You got a babysitter?
Yeah. My baby is at the Christian Education Congress tonight with his grandmother, learning about money matters and giving God the tenth first, is what he told me.
Okay.
Keep it tight, Heather. Keep it tight.
All right.
No kissing. No kissing.
Yeah, Patrice said keep it tight. So that means you can't give up nothing.
You can make out, but just don't give it up. Make out, though. Go ahead and make out.
No,
we can rub real hard.
Tree, so you saying she not tight?
Sorry. Joey, first of all, let me say this to you.
Wait a minute, what Joey say?
Now you saying I'm not tight. This thing fits like a glove. Do you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Good Lord.
Bam.
I'm sweating them.
And not one of them stained gloves you get on Minnesota Avenue. I'm talking about a good old Isotona.
Is it like an O.J. Simpson glove?
Like the O.J. Simpson glove. If it don't fit, you must have quit.
Too legit to quit. Oh, my goodness.
What you talking about?
I thank God for this here vagina. I don't care what y'all say about it.
I be thanking them, too.
Heather, you
talking
about
them? No way. I be thanking them, too.
Tell the Lord, thank you.
Joey, you be thanking God for Heather's for JJ?
Well, all women.
Sessions on the side, you didn't answer.
Sessions on the side. Because I'm
on account for you.
Because I'm not licensed to do sessions on the side.
Do you counsel in your church?
No, because I'm not licensed.
Did you just say that, Patrice?
Do you want to start practicing?
Yes, I am going to start practicing once I pass this licensure test. I didn't pass it the first time. I missed it by 3 points. So I just have to take it again.
Well, you know, all you got to do is open up that office door to all them people in that church, and you know you're going to be rich in no time at all, right?
I hope so.
Heather, get off the phone and go get ready for your date.
Yeah, who is this man, Heather?
Right, who is he?
Let me say this about him. Is this being recorded? Can people hear this?
People can hear it. People are still listening if they didn't hang up.
People can hear it.
Okay. He is a very nice guy that I met many years ago. And I think that nothing ever really jumped off because he was raising his son. And
now it cut off.
Oh, and we live in two separate places. He lives in New York. I live here. And so his son is in high school now, so we've really become close. So he was in town today for business, and I had the show to do. So we decided to hook up for a late night. I'm sure nothing will happen, but we are staying together tonight, and we'll go to work tomorrow
And nothing's going to happen? Y'all staying together?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, where y'all gonna be, Heather? Because me, Joe, and Deidre and Patrice, we free tonight, so we can just
no,
all make it in a month
no,
friend day.
No, not coming.
I don't
want
to be
on New Jersey Avenue.
DJ, how you know I'm free? Why I gotta be free all the time?
Patrice ain't got nothing to do.
Because you don't start rape until 11:30.
Why y'all always think that I ain't got nothing to do?
Hey, Tree, you might need to up your friend ante or something because they just going on through the day.
We always do that, Joey. That's why I had to start choosing different kinds of friends like you.
But
wow.
Also, what I wanted to touch on, Tree, is what happens if you have a whole bunch of friends but nobody ain't trying to marry you?
Right.
Wow. Have a whole bunch of friends, but ain't nobody trying to marry you. Then you just,
yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to do about that.
Oh, so
I mean,
but what
if
people don't want to marry you? Not have a
what
date?
What if your potentials don't want to marry you because of your friends?
Exactly.
Say it again. Say it again.
What if your potential, what if the guys who want to be romantic with you don't want to marry you simply because of your friends?
Simply because I'm their friend?
No, like, there may be a guy who likes you, but
uh-huh.
he might not want to get serious with you because you have a bunch of friends.
A bunch of guy friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't sleep with any of these, you know, so-called friends or whatever. So if he does not, if he's not, you know, okay with that and he just has a problem of me having friends, then, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that because that's actually a decision. I'm not going to stop.
How is a guy who is Patrice's friend supposed to feel romantic about her, lovey-dovey enough about her to even think that she's the one to even ask to marry him? I don't understand that.
Because he's gotten to know Patrice Reynolds. He's gotten to know who I am. He's gotten to know what I view life as or where I'm going in my life. See, when I think about marriage, y'all, I'm pretty sure y'all feel the same way. But when I think about marriage, that's some serious crap. You know, that's nothing that you just freaking go into all in love with on the initial break and stay there. You have got to venture
Why?
Into freaking friendship. And I honestly don't care. I don't
Come
care.
Here. No, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm talking to somebody.
It's my life. It's your life. So basically, I don't care if you know, someone would have a problem with the way that I am living my life if I am happy where I am. You know, that's not up for discussion. It really is not even a conversation, you know, what I've decided to do, what, you know, as far as living my life and being happy, that's what works for me. You know, I've had proposals and I have turned down proposals, and I can sit down for a nice evening and tell you about that. Tell you about those. But I think what really, really helped me, you know, not enter into bad, miserable marriages as all of us, you know of, you know, that our friends are in now, is being friends. I think that it really, really helped me not go into those. And I think I want to stick with that. I've had some great relationships. And guess what? Out of all of that, I still have those people as friends in my life. They are not thrown away. They are not thrown to the wind just because we didn't make it romantically. You know, they're still my friends. And that, to me, is gold. Better than jumping into an exclusive relationship with you and then throwing you away because it don't work out because you hurt my heart too much and I can't even look at you.
That's true.
I would rather have your friendship for life than to have you for a moment, you know, in romance.
And today's her birthday, too.
I agree, Therese.
No, I think what Teresa is saying though has validity to it, that you do date different people in just dating, going out, getting to know, and they are just friends. I think when a man feels like he wants to ask you to marry him, or that it potentially can go there, is when he needs to say, "I'd like for us to be exclusive."
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
And at that point, I feel like you're courting, you're preparing yourself to be together long term. But I do think, for my situation, you know, I had a girlfriend that kind of came to me and sort of felt as if, you know, I see you, you know, you're talking to a lot of guys, and you go out with this one, and then this one comes down to the job, and you go to lunch, and da-da-da-da-da, and I just want to make sure everything is okay. And that's because I realized that people are used to men, women, y'all sleeping together, all this is going on. But my point to her was, I'm single. And it's okay for me to have multiple male friends and to go to lunch and to meet for drinks after work, if that's what I choose to do. That's okay. Now, if one of them came to me and said, you know what, I want to be in an exclusive relationship because I believe that there's something that more can come out of us, or I want to focus all of my attention on you, and I'm asking you to do the same thing so we can discover whether or not something more is going to come out of us. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I do agree that we shouldn't just all be, the first time you meet him, y'all exchange numbers, y'all go out on 3 dates, you don't talk to nobody else. When you tell him to stop calling you, mm-mm, that's not good.
We were put
3 dates might be his maximum.
We were put on this earth to enjoy each other. Whatever enjoyment is to you is enjoyment. Whatever. We are supposed to explore each other and enjoy each other. Now, your enjoyment might be something different from mine, but I'm straight.
Where'd you get that from?
You know? Huh?
Where'd you get that theory from?
That we are put on this earth to enjoy each other and have relationship and purpose with each other? Are you serious? That's where I got that from. What do you mean where I got it from?
What do you mean my theory?
That just makes sense.
To you, it makes sense. You can't assume that it makes sense to everybody.
Well, you know what? It should make sense. If we're all put on the earth, okay, and clearly, if you want to go to the Bible, it says that we are to love one another, then I take that and extend it further as we are supposed to enjoy each other, and we are supposed to interact and develop something amongst each other, because, again, we are supposed to be one. So that's where I got that from.
Okay, I just wanted to know because it just sounded strange.
I think it's a God conscious. I think it makes plenty of sense. It makes plenty of
right.
sense. I mean, why do you
it makes,
think we're
it makes
all,
plenty of sense to you, which is
why
I asked.
Why do you think we're put? Why do you think we're put on this earth with each other? Why do you think?
Well, I think that everybody has a particular purpose.
I said with each other, not with yourself. With each other. Why?
Right.
What are we supposed to do with each other? Not with ourselves.
And if I could be allowed to finish,
I'll have my permission.
You have my permission. Thank you. And I believe that with, you know, some of the people on earth, or most of the people on earth, you know, whatever your purpose is, and I can only speak for myself, my purpose is to share, you know, my gifts and my callings with the world, or to those who will listen and be blessed by it.
Okay, the elementary,
but
we know that.
But at the same time, I wasn't talking about the Bible. I just want to know where you got that. But since you mentioned that.
I wasn't talking about the Bible at all. I didn't bring the Bible up at all. Not at all.
You said the Bible says. You just said.
No, I didn't. In the original, my original statement was, we are put on this earth to enjoy each other. And then you
right,
went and where did you get that theory? So I said, well, if you want to take it to the Bible, and that's when I said that. So, no, I
right,
originally
I
was not coming from the Bible.
Religious folks want to always,
you know, test where you're getting your information from, you know, so I thought I had to
bring
that out.
No,
so that's
I, wanted, No, I just wanted to know where the thought comes from. Because I realize that you're a human with original thoughts, and every thought doesn't come from the Bible. I just wanted to know where you got that theory from, that we're all put on earth to enjoy each other.
So you already knew the answer. Why did you ask me where did I get that from?
No, I didn't know the answer. If I knew the answer, I wouldn't have asked why. I did not know the answer.
That doesn't make any sense. I think you're just picking on me. That's what I think.
No, I'm not picking on you. If I was to pick on you, I'd still be on the rapist thing.
No, I think you're picking on me.
No, I'm not picking on you. But you said that we're all here on earth to enjoy each other. And I wonder where you were coming from, because you were the person with the theory that you want to have a lot of friends. So with me just hearing that, you know, you have a lot of friends and you don't really want to, you know what I mean, commit to anybody exclusively, and then you say we were all put on this earth to enjoy each other, I was wondering, were you saying to enjoy each other in the sense of friends like you were saying earlier? And that's why I wanted to know where you get that theory.
I don't remember saying that I had a lot of friends. Whenever I give my opinion, it does not always mean that that is exactly where I am. It means that's what I believe, okay? So as far as me having a lot, I already have a lot of friends, but as far as friends that are potential mates or have some kind of romantic attraction to, that I don't have a lot of those. That's not what I was trying to portray or show to anybody. That's not what it was. I was trying to make the point of, if this is a friendship type of deal, then you have many friends. You'll eventually have many friends. But I was not saying that I had a lot of romantic friends.
Okay, and I understand. But coming from the conversation earlier, because you said, if I want to enjoy my friend, if I want to kiss your friend, that's what you said. And Deidre said, well, how many of these friends do you kiss or do you do whatever with? So coming from that school of thought, then saying that we were put on earth to enjoy each other made me say, well, what actually do you mean? Because I didn't understand what you meant. I didn't know the answer, which is why I asked the question.
Yeah, that's why I said your enjoyment might be. Yeah, that's why I said your enjoyment might be different from mine. So my enjoyment does not mean sexual pleasure and indulging in sexual sexy acts. That was specifically why I said your enjoyment might not be the same as mine. My enjoyment, honestly, is knowing your purpose. What is your purpose? What do you want to do? What can we do together in our purpose to change the world? That is my enjoying you. That is my exploring you. So as that is where I always come from, and that's where I was coming from tonight. But I made it very clear that my enjoyment and my exploration of people from other people and as well as you. And a lot of people, of course, you know, they automatically think sexual, so I do have to keep that in mind, and they always go there, you know, but that's actually where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a more global, a more a wide frame point of view, you know, the purpose of life. I honestly care about that, and that's why no one person can have all of me unless he has promised me. You know, other than that, you know, I have a lot to give. I have a lot to give. A woman is a great supporter of men. We can support and influence many men. You know, that doesn't mean that we're sleeping with them. But I am using my gift of influence and encouragement to everyone, you know. And if I'm tied down to one dude and caught up in a toxic relationship, nobody getting my attention, and that's just the truth. You know, when a woman is in love and tied down, and that's what she is. And I would rather be at least married, you know, if I'm going to be pulled away from the world like that, you know, than to be with a boyfriend, giving him all of that, you know, and it not be nothing. And there's just no promise. So, no, I will never waste my time in a relationship where there's no promise given to me, and that's just that. Life is too short.
Wow.
say, Patrice, you are a different kind of chick. Boy, let me tell you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Right, and that's all I was asking. I was like, well, where do you get that? Where does that theory come from? Because most females don't think like that.
I'm aware.
And that's all I was asking. I'm going, okay, where does that come from? That's just like when I tell people, hey, I do the majority of the cooking in the house, huh? Where are you from? What do you mean, where am I from? You know, are your parents from the South? Blah blah blah. Because it's just a different kind of thinking. Because most females, when they talk, when they, not all, but most of the females who I talk to have said, hey, if we're going to be going out and hanging out, I just don't want to hang out. I want it to go to a different level. I don't want to just hang out with you. If we just go hang out,
yep,
with it, we need to take the relationship somewhere different. Or,
yep,
you know, you need to leave me alone. But so for you to say, hey, I just want, you know, I want friends, I want to share my gifts, that's strange in my ears.
You know why? It's okay to tell the world or men or whatever what you want or what, you know, my goal is to get married and I want to have two kids and I want to do this and that. But the bottom line is I honestly want to see what you are going to give me on your own. I want you to make a good decision, a good, clear decision after, of course, you know what I want. You know, this is what I want. But I am not telling you or giving you any ultimatum, giving you any deadline unless I'm giving my body and my soul to you. Then, yeah, I want you to, you know, answer to me about a couple things. But I would prefer a man choose me first on his own. Then for me to, okay, we're going to have a meeting. We've been seeing each other, and I've been letting you touch my boo. And y'all know, you know, I got kids that I got to take care of and blah, 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 and hold this whole PowerPoint presentation on why you should marry me. You know, I'm not going to go that route because, honestly, I don't ever want to have to pay for manipulating a man to marry me. Ever. I don't ever want to have to answer the question, well, you told me that this would be best. Well, you told me if I didn't marry in November, then it was over. But if I don't give what I'm not supposed to give you, then I shouldn't command or demand anything of you. I want you to want what you want. And you are the one that has to live with that. You will never be able to look at me and say, I done made you marry me because of something that I done said. You know, so I think that's why I go that route. You know, it's okay for me to let them know my goals and what I want. But I'm not going to come at you like, oh, you better make a decision now. No, make your decision, bro. And if you're too late, then, you know, that's too bad for you. It's too bad for you.
How do you be Patrice the way Patrice is and then do, okay, the girlfriends that you roll with, do they think
mm-hmm.
like you, or are they like the chicks are they the chicks like PJ is talking about?
So the chicks that PJ is talking about. I actually don't know any woman that I can honestly chat with for a length of time that have the same thoughts that I do about relationship. Now, this doesn't mean I didn't used to be them, and it doesn't mean that something is wrong with them. It just means that the learnings that from the relationships that I've had has led me here. You know, this is the road that I have taken based on what I have gone through. There's no bitterness. I'm not hating on you no more because it didn't work out romantically. We still friends. We still do purpose. To me, that's bigger than me dating you and it not working and we not doing nothing. To me, it's like a waste. To me, I'm thinking actually smaller of you because I'm saying to you, all you good for is, you know, a romantic thrill or a relationship or an attempt to make a marriage out of you, and that is it. I think that life should be bigger than, you know, me just trying to accomplish getting married. If marriage doesn't work, it should be okay with me and you, and life should go on with me and you. You know, maybe in a different, you know, kind of tone, of course. But I think that friendship is so golden. I think I have tapped into how golden friendship is and how much worth it is in it. you know, the fact that we can be attracted to each other, but we choose not to go into it romantically because there's another purpose here. Or, hey, you know, I like you and everything, but I'm not feeling you like that. Let's do something else with this. And no, it's not as easy as I'm saying it either. You know, it's not as easy. I'm a woman. I'm full of emotion. You know, I fall fast. I fall quick and I fall hard. But the more I practice why we exist, the more I stay focused. You know, I want men to have the freedom and the liberty to choose. I don't want you to choose me falsely. I don't want to show you something that you won't see later. I don't want to put that front up because I'm going to pay for it later. I am going to pay for that, you know, by you reminiscing on who you should have married, you know, or reminiscing on how you should have waited, you know. So I don't want any, you know, fault in that. I want you, your decision, to be your decision because that is how much I love you.
Right. But do you realize how rare that is, Patrice?
Yeah, I do. I do. I honestly do. And a lot of guys, they take me wrong in the beginning. They think that, oh, you just want to, you know, have many. And that's not it at all. But they have to stay with me long enough to know my heart. I can't show you my heart in one evening. You have to see my life. You have to see my walk. You have to see that I am honestly, you know, real about how I feel. Again, I wasn't always here. This is not some, you know, wonderful, you know, way to be just out of the blue. No, it took some time, and it took some deep thought and wisdom, you know, to come to the point of, dang, I should love you anyway, even if it don't work out. So this means that in order for me to love you, I have to shield us from some hurt that I can't get over, which is giving you my body, and then you know, hurting my heart, and I can't speak to you again. So what I have to do is rise up to the occasion and say, you know what, dude, we can't sleep. We can't do this because then I'm not going to want you later, even as a friend. So I'm helping both of us. And whoever,
wow,
what God does not accept that from me, then okay, they can roll on. I'm willing to risk that, you know. But, you know, and it does happen. It does happen. Guys will be like, no, I can't, you know, I can't be your friend. You know, I mean, I'm attracted to you. And I'm like, dude, that's the more reason to stay around me. You know, at least you can rest assured that I'm not sleeping with anyone. I'm not giving myself to anyone. If you see me going to a movie with someone else and you're there, I can see there's a little, might be a little emotion or feelings there. But at the end of the day, I'm not giving him anything. Everybody across the board has a chance. And it's who is ready. Who's ready? Who can step up to the plate? Who can find a virtuous woman? So it's a decision on his part. So I'm in the clear. I'm honestly enjoying life. I'm loving it, wined and dined all the time, and have great friendship. How can I lose with this unless you walk away? A little sad there, but hey, you know, you didn't step up to the plate. Why am I going to give you anything? You know, if you can't give me something back that I need, you know. So it's really not worth all of these relationships and being exclusive, and time goes by quick. And before you know it, I'm 45 and still dating you.
Do you teach this to, I mean, not teach it, but when you tell this philosophy or this, you know, this, I guess, philosophy.
This is my book, Let Tomorrow Come, available on Amazon.com, called Let Tomorrow Come. It's all in the book.
Yes, it is, and it'll change your life.
Do you find
that again?
I said I wrote a book about it.
Say that again,
Patrice. I said I wrote a book about it. It's called Let Tomorrow Come, Breaking the Cycle of Bad Relationships, on Amazon.com. You can purchase it right now. And I actually wrote a play about it, too.
And she did. And it was a very good play.
So I'm putting it out there. I'm trying to put it out there. It's not easy because a lot of women, I get beat up by a lot of women, and then I get beat up by a lot of men. You know, in the beginning I do, until they understand, oh, this is bigger than I thought. When you get to a point where you can say to a woman, you know what, I love you too much to date you, when you know you're going to dog her, when you get to a point where you say, you know what, I love you more than I would love a girlfriend, because your friendship, I can't risk losing that. when you know, again, this is when he know he's not ready to commit. He gets to a point where he says that he has it. He completely has it, and he understands how important this person is.
Well, at this point, I'm going to bow out. It was a great show. It was a great after show. I would hate to talk to Patrice if she was drunk, because I don't know what she would sound like. If she sound this radical now, I would hate to hear what she sound like when she's drunk. But y'all have a good night.
Me too, Jeff.
You know what? Good night.
Peace.
Yeah, Joey, that was a good show tonight.
Thank you.
Great show, Joey.
Thank you, PJ. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Y'all made the show. I just was leading y'all in the transition. Yeah, all right. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right.
All right, John.
Bye-bye.
All right.